Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Joining us now, Eric Schmidt, terrorism correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Here's the story. New information from the State Department says that Pakistani security forces are illegally rounding up political activists and unarmed fighters. The report says that in the last decade, thousands of people have been held without charge, tortured, and killed. Many of those detained are members of the Balochistan separatist group, which has battled the Pakistani government for independence for decades. Here to talk about the alleged abuses is Eric Schmidt, terrorism correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, as I said. Eric, what's new in this report, and how destabilizing do you think this policy on the part of the Pakistan government is?
Well, what's new here is that this trend, which has been going on now since 9/11, continues. There'll be at least dozens, perhaps scores every year of these individuals, as you mentioned, both the remnants of guerrilla fighters in an insurgency that most Americans probably don't know about. It's in the southwest part of Pakistan, a place called Balochistan, a vast area of the country that's mostly desert and far from the fighting along the border with Afghanistan and the Taliban that most people are familiar with. But this is an insurgency that goes back all the way to Pakistan's founding in the late 1940s and a different ethnic group that has sought to break away from the rest of Pakistan. What's happened here, according to human rights groups and some American officials, is that shortly after 9/11, after the Bush administration asked Pakistan to round up Islamic extremists who are tied to the Taliban and al-Qaeda, the Pakistani security forces use that as a pretext to go after some of their political opponents in this part of the country. And this continues. And in this report that was sent by the State Department to Congress late last month, they express concern that this continues, that these people are basically picked up, placed in jails. Their families are not notified where they are, and sometimes they literally disappear for weeks or months, or they're never seen again.
Talking to Eric Schmidt, correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Eric, from the Pakistani perspective, is it valid to view even this insurgency as part of a general Pakistani version of the war on terror, or are we seeing much more of an opportunistic use of the war on terror, as, say, the Russians did to expand their crackdown in Chechnya, for instance?
I think it's actually a combination of both. You put your finger on it. I think this is an insurgency that the Pakistanis basically tell the United States to, hey, this is our domestic issue. We'll take care of this. But they've seen that they can get support internationally, perhaps, if they treat this as a form of terrorism. So even though this is very much of a domestic insurgency that does not have anything to do with al-Qaeda, they cast it in those terms and are basically saying, we have to take care of our security in this part of the country, just as we're helping the United States deal with it with the Taliban and the other parts.
Given the sensitivities of the Pakistani government on a variety of issues and what we've seen over the course of really 9 years in Afghanistan as limitations of influence in having Pakistan do this or that in the interest of the United States, how aggressively does your reporting suggest the administration is likely to be in trying to encourage a different behavior on the part of the Pakistanis here?
Well, it's interesting. What I was told by several sources was this has been a long concern of American diplomats in Pakistan. In fact, some cables show up from the documents the WikiLeaks released going back 2 or 3 years expressing concern for this trend then. But what the Americans believe is that they can have the most impact by presenting evidence, as they see it, to the Pakistanis, but in private, not make a public scolding out of it, which would only, I think, make the Pakistanis more intransigent, and then try and use programs that the United States can finance to help improve the Pakistani judiciary system, to help improve training of their police and security officers, human rights training, for instance, go through those kind of mechanisms to try and help Pakistan be a more effective partner in combating terrorism, rather than scolding them in public, taking them out, and basically they fear that would just force the Pakistanis to withdraw even more and not take any kind of aid in this area.
Eric Schmidt, is this in part a governance issue in Pakistan? We've seen the civilian government now losing support and possibly, you know, on the verge of toppling, at least in its own internal parliament. But I'm wondering if the U.S. views human rights abuses as a track which destabilizes or makes less popular the Pakistani government in the eyes of Pakistani civilians, who we know have launched, you know, major protests when things have gone wrong in the court system. There's a certain amount of faith in the judiciary in Pakistan.
That's right. And certainly we've seen the various rallies around the country. And again, there have been popular rallies regarding this issue. The Obama administration has made the issue of human rights abuses by Pakistan's security forces more of an issue probably than the Bush administration did, although they're again trying to do this in more of a quiet manner. Whether this actually will develop into a very serious wedge issue, I think we'll just kind of wait and see how this is played out. Of course, there were reports earlier, just a few months ago, of extrajudicial killings in the tribal areas. That is where there is fighting in the Taliban. In fact, there was even some caught on an alleged videotape of this happening, and the chief of staff of the Pakistani army has vowed an inquiry into this, but 2 months later, there's still no results from that. So, again, that will be one of the tests to see just how forcefully the Pakistanis take this issue on themselves.
Finally, Eric Schmidt, has there ever been an international recognition of the claims of the Balochistanis, the separatist group in Balochistan, for an independence for that territory?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, this is an area that, of course, is part of Pakistan, has been since they were founded in 1947. So I think while there's some issues there of whether there can be more autonomy and more rights for the individuals there, I think this has always been seen as a part of Pakistan itself.
It's not a Kashmir kind of issue. It's much more internal. Yep. Eric Schmidt,
yes.
Terrorism correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, on a report that the Pakistani security forces are allegedly and illegally rounding up political activists and unarmed fighters as part of their fight against the people of Balochistan, which has battled the Pakistani government for independence for decades. Eric Schmidt, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.